Hey everybody, it's your boy Dwan Johnson, and you are listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey guys, and welcome back to an all-new episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, actor from the Amazon series Bosch, certified life coach, and founder of Think Bigger Coaching, Dwan Johnson. Hey Dwan, how's it going?
Woo!
Dwan!
What's up? I love that intro. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm really excited to have you. You do so many amazing things for actors. I'm going to distinguish this. You are a working actor. That is a big difference, right?
It is, though.
Yeah, like you're a working actor, certified life coach, and founder of the Think Bigger Coaching. I think that is amazing. You're like on a mission to help actors up level and skip the line. I love that.
Yeah. I actually, I've dedicated a big portion of my career to giving back to actors. I like to say, send the elevator back down. Right. Mm-hmm. And because I don't believe that everything that has been given to me was just for me. Mm-hmm. I think you're supposed to pass it back. You know, some people think you hoard it and you're going to get more of it. I think if you give it, you get more of it, you know?
Yes. So, yeah. It's a cycle. You give more, you get more. You give, and it just keeps on going.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's awesome. I love that. So, we'll get into all of the amazing things that you do, but I want to first know, I always like to start at the beginning, you know, tell us, how did you end up getting your start as an actor? Like, where did that journey begin for you?
You know, at home, right? Mm-hmm. But even when, it's so interesting. I read this thing the other day where some people were like, can we stop telling the story about people of color's parents not supporting them and the arts are not supporting them anything? And I was reading that, I was like, this is our truth. And I'm sure that there are a lot of awesome, you know, artists out there whose parents are like, go do it. But a lot of the era where I came from, generation, you know, going into the arts to our parents was kind of like cray, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I say it started at home, it did start at home. That's where my love for it came from way back when. But I won't take you all the way back to Miami when I was on my bike.
Is that where
riding around? Yeah. Oh. Well, I say Miami because we moved there when I was five, and I did all my growing up there. But I'm originally from Chicago, and that's where my dad lives and stuff. But, you know, I did my first play when I was in eighth grade, and I was a scarecrow. And that's when I can really say that I fell in love with it. And I thought I was the S-H-I, you know.
The shit.
Yeah, right? I thought I was, like, if hot shit on a rock, I would always say. And then I remember my ninth grade year, I auditioned for The Bad Seed was a play, and then I didn't get it. So that was like my first failure. And I remember being so sad about it, you know, and how do you recoup from that when we're like, I don't know, 12, 13 around that age. But little did we know that that was the beginning of a lot of no's, right? As we get up and we go into our field. So I started way back then, and, you know, I won't take you through all of the journey because I went to University of Florida for acting. Go Gators.
Yeah.
And I loved it there. That's where I stayed, got into it. And then I went to, I went to Colorado for a little bit. And I think the important piece about Colorado State University is that I wasn't there for acting. But then I remember that I had gone into my other passion, working as a coach and really getting a master's in that world.
Oh.
And then,
Wow.
You don't know me, Melanie.
That's serious. Okay, now I'm getting to know you.
No. Wow. It's so I went there and I got them out, but I was working with students, and one of the main things that popped up for me was I got a little bit tired, or I had a little bit of imposter syndrome telling students to go live out their dreams, and I wasn't living out mine. And when you feel that, I think we know that. We feel it, right? We're like, we know we're not in our pocket. We're not in our dream. We're telling everybody else, you know what? Get away from him or do whatever. Like, right. But we're not living ours. And so I decided that's when I came out to Los Angeles. Mm. And I've been out here ever since, you know, just really making, I don't want to say making a name for myself because I had a name, but just making it in this industry.
Wow, that's impressive. So I did not know, because I know you're, you know, certified life coach, but I didn't know where that started, like where that part of the story started. So you like went to school for that.
Yeah, well, that was probably the start of it when I got my master's degree, right? When you got my master's degree and emphasis focused on counseling, and I really, you know, for all the RAs out there and hall directors and stuff like that, like I used to, you know, work in student affairs, and I used to really, really, really work with students. And so that's probably when it all started, was in college. Okay. And then when I got out here, and the life coaching certification came because I booked Bosch, right? Mm-hmm. And here it is. Wow. I booked Bosch, and in between season 2 and 3, I wasn't as fulfilled as I thought I was going to be. You know, we're out there. We're pursuing this. We're doing this. And we're like, we're in the struggle, the strive of it all, of an actor. And I got it. I got what I wanted. And I realized that, like, oh, I'm still not happy. What's up? Wow. What's up? And I realized, I felt in that moment, Melanie, I was not living on purpose. I felt like it was selfish. I felt like all I was doing was just like, give me, give me, give me, instead of the other side of let me give back, let me get back. Wow. So in that moment, I decided to put my two passions together. I loved acting, and I loved what I was doing counseling. And I went off and got a certification in acting while I was in between season 2 and 3 of Bosch.
Oh.
So mind you, I still had 7 seasons to go. I mean, 5 seasons to go after that, you know.
Wow, that's incredible. See, that's so interesting, because we have this vision of the things that we want. And if I get this, I'll be happy. And then you get it, and you're just like, I'm still not happy. I'm still not fulfilled. And like you said it, like, that's the key. Like, you weren't living on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That makes like the whole difference.
Yes. Wow. A big difference. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and what I don't think we do, and what I wanted to do with Think Bigger Coaching, was I was teaching acting for a while at a studio here in Los Angeles. And I saw that actors, the inside stuff is what was defeating them. Right. They would get up there for the audition and you'd be like, well, I'm not going to book this, or my agent's going to drop me. You know, all that stuff. And so I wanted to work on that inside stuff with actors. Mm-hmm. And it really just got we don't ask ourselves anymore, do we want to do this?
Right.
Are we happy doing this? Yeah. What piece of this brings us more joy? Mm-hmm. Right. We think as soon as we get it, as we make this, we're going to be like, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So there was a time period, because you are a working, successful actor, happy, fulfilled, all the things.
How you doing? How you doing, working actor?
Right, like, how you doing? Hello, welcome to the show. Like, this is who you are now, but there was a before this, right, where you didn't necessarily feel, like you said, fulfilled, purpose. You lost as an actor how a lot of actors feel that, like, lost. They don't feel that it's the struggle for them. They don't feel like they have control over, you know what I mean? Like, all those things. Like, how did you get to the point where you started to shift and things started to look different? Like, what were some of the things that you did to make the change for yourself and your career?
That's a great question. And one thing is, I started living my own vision. That's it. I started living the vision. Let me back up a step. I started to really create and realize, what was my vision? What is the vision you wanted for your life, right? And one of the things that I know that was happening was I was living somebody else's vision. And that other person was my mom's. Do you know what I mean? And that's okay. And even though she didn't want me, she wanted me to play small. And I know there's your listeners out there will get this. It's not that she wanted me to play small. Our parents always want us to play full out, but they wanted their vision of us sometimes is already in a container that we don't need to be in. Mm. So my container, I had already outgrown that container. And I like to say that when I worked as a bartender for 12 years, I remember I was told to keep that job just in case. Mm. And I kept that job just in case. And I remember I was making 6 figures at acting already.
Wow.
At that job. And I still kept the bartending job just in case.
Wow. Really?
But that, but I didn't realize that that was not my vision.
Yeah. You were holding on to something that didn't even belong to you.
It was an expired belief. Mm. It was an expired belief that I had not let go of, mm-hmm. and I was in it. And so when I say, when you ask that question of, hey, you know, how did you do that? Well, I really started to get clear on, well, who's just in case job is this? Mm. Well, what do I really want for my career? Yeah. What do I, and you get really specific about it, mm. right? Mm-hmm. And you really, and then you start to whittle it down. Well, you know what? I'm good. Let me start to take, I'm going to leave this job. I'm going to leave this job by May 1st, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And you start making some things. And because I believe that the universe does meet you at your expectation. If my expectation was to keep a job just in case, that is exactly what it was doing. Mm,
that's true. That is. That's, ooh. Yeah. Let's have a moment.
Now somebody go
that.
Back and listen to that. Somebody's going to have to go back and listen to that. Cause I can't say it again that way. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's that real. Was, wow. It's like,
come on, Melanie. You didn't know I came here to. I didn't come here to play.
You get what you ask for, or what you prepare for, or what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
You get that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You do.
It's almost like at a restaurant, you know, like, can I take mm-hmm. your order? This is yep. what your order is.
That's it. And what I was ordering mm. was this life of lack, mm-hmm. this life of, if I got too big, I have to come back to this. You know, I was just talking about this on my Instagram story, that I didn't realize we have to go back and make sure we check our expired beliefs constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, where did you get a belief? And I was talking about paying my SAG dues, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things when I pay my SAG dues is I will overpay my SAG dues, right? Mm-hmm. So say it's $1,000, you know, the whole year might be $2,000 for my SAG dues. When I get it in May, I see it's $1,000. So what I do is I was paying $1,500, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people out there would be like, that's smart, right? You go ahead and pay a little bit over. But listen to the message that I was sending my life. Mm-hmm. The message was, I might not have money in November to pay this fully. So I'm going to overpay now just in case I don't have that money coming up.
Just in case.
Mm, okay. I am prophesizing over my life that I'm not going to have money in November.
Wow. I didn't even think about it, because in my mind, I was like, oh, that's good that you're doing it like that.
Right. Because that's what we are doing. Instead of being like, I got this. Thank you so much. What you do is you say, more, please. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to write this check. I'm going to hit send. I'm going to hit click. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to hit payment. Yeah. I'm going to hit that with gratitude. Mm. Look at my life, mm-hmm. right? I get to do it this way. That's a different, we're on a different frequency. Yeah. Then I'm going to pay it just in case I don't have the money coming up. Wow. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I came in hot. I didn't even know I was coming in hot today.
Oh, you hot. It's getting hot in here. I love it. It's like, we need these reminders. Like, not just reminders, but this needs to be like the mindset shift that we all need. There's so many mm-hmm. limitations that we place on our mind. Like you said, those expired beliefs and beliefs that we have just from other people. Like, I know there's so many things that I think to this day that they're not even my thoughts. I'm like,
they're not
my thoughts. I'm like, why do you think, like, where did that come from? Like, do you really feel this way? It's like analyzing and really sitting with the way that you think and understanding, like, okay, mm. this doesn't serve me today. This is not serving
Thank you.
Me, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting hot. I'm hot.
Yeah. Come on. It's good in here, yeah. but and that's where I came with Think Bigger Coaching, because, and I started being known as the mindset guy. Right. I do mindset, and I also work with like self tapes with actors, because that's where I want to be getting in. But the mindset was because I know that there's so much out there that we are sitting in lack as actors, you know, and like, how can I help myself and how can I help my other actors? That's my goal.
I love that. So Think Bigger Coaching, like, the name says it all. I mean,
like, I leave it all out there.
Yeah. I love that. And you have the Think Bigger podcast, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So where did you, I mean, the name says it all, but like, when did you get that name for the coaching program? Like, where did that come from?
You know, it's cool, because one of my friends, who is one of my teachers, co-teachers at a studio I worked at, we were just sitting there trying to think of like, what do you do, and how do I make a name for this thing? And you know, her name is Colleen Foy. She said to me, we were sitting there, she's like, Duane, you've always been a coach, you've just now gone to a certification program and you got tools to like do this, you know. And I was like, I just want people to think bigger. And she was like, think bigger. She's like, think bigger coaching. And it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah.
It was just one of those organic things that she kind of helped me. And it just like came out of a conversation, because I know that if we could think bigger, but you know, what I'm understanding now, you know, 7 years, 6 years into the brand is that we don't always know how to think bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't, true. We have to, I myself, people think like, oh, Duane's there for helping others think bigger. But that message, that logo reminds me, Duane, are you not thinking bigger right now? Because you need to think bigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. No, that's key, because I love the name of the podcast. I love the name of the coaching program, because it is such a reminder. It's like, it's like a light bulb. Like,
yes.
If you ever are feeling down or forgetting, like, you can just read that and it's like, boom, it'll like give you that life that you need and that reminder to be like, nah, think bigger, like remove these limitations, because we're putting these limitations on ourselves. Other people have put them on us over time. And then we project that on other people. We project that on our careers, like, you know, like towards acting or whatever it is in life. And I think it's so important, because words have power, right?
Oof. Don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. Wow. So
you have my friend. I was gonna say, you have my friend Christine Horn on your podcast,
love
who
Christine.
I love. We're in that, and I was just gonna quote her. You know, she says that your words are your wand.
Yes.
Right. Yep. A lot. She always says that. Like, so be careful about the words you speak in over your life, because you're casting a spell with those words. Yes.
And it's like, we know these things, but why don't we? Because even me, I know the things, like, you know, like, I know words have power and what you put out there. It's like, but how do you make it become a lifestyle? You know, because I sometimes find myself still you know better. You're supposed to do better. But sometimes I know better and I don't do better. You know, like, how do you make that real change? Like, where does that come from?
Well, listen, I'll say this to you. I don't know if that was a rhetorical question, but you know,
that's
you know, you got
question.
Me on here. I'm gonna jump in.
Well, I need an answer.
You know, here's what I would say. First of all, understanding that if it were easy, the whole collective would be doing it as well. So we have to understand that being conscious at all times is something that's going to take a little bit of work, not hard work, but it's going to take some work, right? To be aware. And the one key thing I can say that you can do right now is give your life oxygen. What do you mean by that, Duane? What I mean by that is we are so jam-packed, meeting to meeting, moment to moment. We don't want to be alone. We just don't sit with ourselves and just think about, when we're done with this podcast, I get to sit for 15, 30 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, and be like, wasn't that a beautiful call with Melanie? What did we talk about?
So
you don't have time to really think and uncover and like dissect what's going on, because what we've been sold by corporate America is the more you do, the more efficient you are. Mm-hmm. And that multitasking is a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So number one is give your life some oxygen so you can have time to think about what you just manifested.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Or what you just did, right? I remember thinking that I was looked up at my AC and I was like, I got to get this thing fixed. Like, it's getting ready to be the summer. I live in Los Angeles. We moved to the Valley, all that. And I remember I just come out of meditation. And I looked up at that air conditioner. I was like, I got to get this fixed. I'm going to tell you this. No less than 45 minutes, there was a knock on my door and there was a guy saying, I'm here to fix your air conditioner. Everybody's like, come on, Duane, that's not true. Let me tell you why. Wow. So the person before us who lived in this home had scheduled an appointment for maintenance on his air conditioning unit, right? Mm-hmm. On his air conditioning unit. He didn't live here anymore. That guy didn't know that. He just was keeping up with something that was on the books, if that makes sense. So here's why am I saying that again? Because what it is a manifestation. I manifested that quick, right? And I'm just saying, if I didn't give myself time and space to be like, wow, look how powerful manifestation is. Look how powerful the universe is. Look at God.
Yeah.
Look at what he like deciding, like, you are so special, you can do that. But what we do is we're like, we chalk it up to a coincidence.
That's true. Yeah.
We're like, oh, that's such a coincidence. Yeah. And we don't, and because we haven't sat with it and given our life a little bit of oxygen to really think, well, let me try that again.
Yeah, that's so true. We will be like, oh, that's a coincidence. It's like, nah, nah, nah. You're not, you're
yes,
missing it.
Yes, yes. I know we're way off topic here, but I just wanted to get it for you.
It's
and
good.
Hear this.
Wherever this conversation goes is where it's supposed to go.
That's where it is.
I appreciate
I do.
It. So, because this is really good. For me, personally, selfish right here. But the listeners, you know, because there's so many actors who do struggle with this side of it. Like, there's, you know, the acting part of it, the business and all that. But the mindset is such a big, it's the biggest, I think it's like the biggest part, the most important part.
It is.
And we don't put enough, like, attention there. So us talking about this is just, it's great. I'm glad we're talking about all of this.
It is. And, you know, and people, everyone listening to it, like it might be triggered when I say something like, the only reason you don't have what you want is because you've chosen not to have it. So if you want to move to, let's say, Los Angeles or New York or wherever, or Austin, to, you know, pursue your craft, the only reason that it's going to take 10 years is because you decided it's going to take 10 years.
That's tough to swallow, right?
That hurts.
That can hurt some people. But it's the truth.
Because you think about it, if you wanted something to eat, if you decided I want a steak tomorrow, you're going to go get that steak tomorrow. Yeah. But if you're like, if I want to move and I know this is my life, I'm going to make it 6 months. Great. Set a trajectory and get there. And everything else that comes into that view, we're like, oh, no, I don't want to do it because of, no, this is what's up.
So when actors sign up for your coaching program, like, what can they expect with working from you? I mean, just from this little bit that we've talked about, I'm just like, wow. I know probably like working with you is just like so amazing. So, you know, give us a little insight of like, you know, what you offer and, you know, what they can expect to when they work with you.
Yeah, you know, I think this is what we've been talking about in the last little bit is definitely you get a feel for me, right? I am not your coach if you need somebody who's going to berate you, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be mean to you, who's going to tell you, they're like, oh, but no, that's not my coaching style. Yeah. I'm going to keep it always honest with you without being mean, right? Mm-hmm. Being triggered, right? Being triggered by something is different than me being mean about something, because somebody, like we just said, that was a hard pill to swallow.
Right.
That's something totally different. I'm never going to be mean. And so I always try to say that, like, if that's the kind of coach you need, then that's not me. Yeah. But because what I'm looking for is I want results. I'm not even looking for receipts. Let's get some results here.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get some results. But if you're working with me and, you know, at this current moment, all I do is accept my VIP package clients. Uh-huh. And that's like something you can always find on my website, uh-huh. I Think Bigger Coaching, or work with me in my self-tapes at book course. Yeah. And, you know, but the other one-on-one or my power groups, I have my coaches that work with me, Anything Bigger Coaching, Coach Sean and Coach Laura. And what we're trying to do here is for you to get very specific about what you want to get out of your career. Where do you want to go? Not just that I want to make my whole living off of acting. That's not a vision. Tell me a little bit more about your vision that you want to play in.
Specifics.
Yeah, let's get in it, because I can walk you down Paramount lot. I see in my head the water tower. I see saying hi and my trailer's up there and I'm like, ooh, it's cold in this trailer. Like, tell me your vision. Yeah. Why do we want to do this? And let's start making a course to get there. A specific course, but not coming up with this, like, why am I not getting this faster? Right? Or what's not happening. So we really kind of break it down. We get specific about that stuff. We work backwards. And, you know, our big, big thing is I want to be in there with actors to help them skip the line. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
That's what it is. Because I remember coming out here when I was an actor to Los Angeles and nobody was really stopping to be like, all right, Duane, this is what you got to do. Here you got to go. But now we have everybody that does that. And I'm like, cool. All right. You can do it with everybody, or you could do it with, you know, a group of working actors.
Yeah, that's the difference too. And like you're talking about, you know, just being very clear on your vision. I think sometimes because a person may not know or may feel like that vision that they have in their mind is so big or grandiose, like they're afraid to actually like go there. So we settle for these thoughts of like, oh, if I could just book this, or if I could just, you know what I mean? Instead of, like you say, like thinking bigger and really like writing the vision, making it clear and very detailed and specific. I think there's a fear to like, there's a fear to dream.
Yeah. You know what? My mentor says that, you know, your life circumstances are not your life sentence. And just because your vision isn't panning out the exact way you thought it would, doesn't mean it won't.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we do is we shrink that vision to meet that life sentence, right? We shrink it right now. Oh, you know what? They said no Black people can be on X, so I'm going to ask, maybe I can play the housekeeper. Come on now.
Yeah, that's so true. Shrinking your dream. That's exactly what I mean. That's it right there. That's it. Like... We do it all the time. Well, maybe you don't do it. You don't do it because you have a different strategy. But I know I've fallen into that. It's like a settled mentality. And it's like, I don't want to have a settled mentality. I'm working every day to just, you know, really step into my vision and just go for the things that I want. And I love how you were saying, like, you don't have the things you want because you decided not to. It's like that, it's that plain, you know, when you like make that switch and that decision, like things will start to happen and start to look different.
And shrinking your vision is a big thing. And so I wonder, you know, not just talk, everybody, we're out there, you got to think, where have I shrunk my vision? And how can I get it back, right? And we've talked about this before. Are there other people's beliefs or expires beliefs that I have? And I always say, ooh, don't judge your clarity on somebody else's response.
Break that down a little bit.
Don't judge your clarity on someone else's response. Because what we do, right, is we get out there and I'm like, Melanie, I want to be a superhero. I'm trying to get up a Marvel and I'm trying to do that. And then you sit there, you look at me with a stone face and you're like, you know, ain't no Black people on Marvel. And all of a sudden I go back and I'm like, but I saw this clear vision. I saw this could be blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, okay, well, you know what? I come back to you later. And I'm like, Melanie, so I decided I'm going to be on, you know, and it's lower.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a different vision because I shrunk it because of my clarity. Or I could say to you, why am I making Melanie the bad guy, y'all?
I know. I'm sitting here just taking it too. Like, okay.
But I know, right?
I'll be the sacrifice.
But you think about it. If I came to you and I was like, Melanie, hey, I'm going to move to Los Angeles. And you're like, you ain't got no money. Like, what's up? And I'm like, but I'm clear that this is where I want to go. And so I go back to that same thing. Don't judge your clarity on someone else's response.
Okay, got that. That makes sense, because I think we do it a lot. I know we do it a lot. Like, even just like, you know, parents, you know, I have kids, you know, I have a
three.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
So
you have a son, right?
I have two sons.
You have two sons. What are their ages?
9 and 10.
Oh, back to back. Okay, so I have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. So I'm aware, you know, because I just remember growing up, some of the things I've, you know, told my mom, our family, and they will kind of be like, are you serious? You can't do that. Or, you know what I mean? Just very like discouraging. And then, I start to shrink the dream and I start to believe maybe I can't do it. So I'm very aware of that, like with my son, you know, just even now at this age, I'm just like, I don't want to kill any dream. I want to be excited about what he's excited about. You know, it starts, that's how we start to shape and form from children, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, we have those expired beliefs that we're carrying around as adults.
Yeah, we do. And here's what we can do. We can start to open ourselves up to powerful questions, right? And what everybody needs to understand is a powerful question. As soon as you open, you say, what is a powerful question? A powerful question is not a yes or no. It's not like, how can I get this? That's not a powerful question. That still can lock you in. Because if your base level mindset can't see how you can get this, then you're going to end up back there. So ask yourself a powerful question. Who do I need to get in touch with or be around to help me move to Los Angeles? Who are the people that I know? Because the powerful question puts you in proximity of the miracle. And you want to be in proximity of greatness.
That's so good.
So it's a little bit different. So if you're asking me, what's coaching with me like? It's like this. Yeah. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm going to help you ask powerful questions. I'm going to ask you powerful questions. I'm going to bring it so that you have no choice. That's why I says on my Instagram, he is also a transformational coach. Mm. I am here to disrupt the soil. Mm-hmm. I am a disruptor. Yeah. People are like, oh, that's bad to be a disruptor. No. Oh. Sometimes we need to unearth some of that stuff that has taken root.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just want to go back and get one more thing, Melanie, where you said, oh, I know you, Dewan, you know, you probably have a strategy and all that stuff like that. You know, and here's what happens there. And I'm going to call myself out, right? Let me out myself right now. Okay. I don't stand for that only because what happens is people make me extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I become extraordinary. And when you make me extraordinary, you let yourself off the hook. And you are extraordinary too. Yeah. And so it's easy to say, oh, Dewan's been on a series for 7 years, or Dewan has gone to get, you know, training for this. All that means is Dewan has a few more tools that I hope I can bring out when I need them.
Yeah.
That's all that means. And you can do that too. So stop looking at Oprah as, you know, extraordinary. Wait, that's a bad example because she's extraordinary. We all know. Hold on.
Let's use somebody else.
Somebody else. I want to fight nobody. But even Oprah is going to say that she has people to talk to. Yeah. She has her things. So when we get in these places, they aren't people who are doing low grade unity with me. Mm. Meaning they aren't going to be like, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have gone there anyway. Instead, those other people that I'm going to go to are going to be like, Dewan, I heard you complaining about this the last 3 times. Do you want to do something about it or do you want to keep complaining?
Yeah.
I just came to ask you what I'm eating today.
Holding you accountable on all of
this. I'll be all accountable. I'm just hungry.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, we do tend to put people on a pedestal and, you know, put them up there. And then, it does put us off the hook because we're like, well, that's Oprah. That's Dewan. Yes. You know, that's
not fair.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not fair to you. It's not fair to you. That's not true. Just me. And I think you can read all the books or you can come do it, you know, but there's no reason. There's no reason. And I just wanted to go back and get that. My spirit was like, go back and get that, Dewan.
Thank you. Thank you for getting that and getting me. No, I appreciate that. So you've been on Bosch for, you said 7 years?
Seven seasons.
So amazing. Like, what has your experience been working on that show over the last 7 seasons?
It's been a dream, right? It's an emotional roller coaster of ups and downs, and you know, where my story on it is beautiful because when I booked it, it was uniform officer number one. And I love to tell that story because it was a co-star, and I had stopped doing co-stars at that point. I was like, I'm not going to do this co-star. And I was like, I'll do it if they have a name. Mm. You know, if they give me a name, I'll do it. And they're like, great, we'll give a name. His name is Officer Rondell Pierce. Great. Got me in there, did the first the pilot episode. So I've been on that show since the pilot episode. And I remember after we cut it, we shot it, we saw it at the Soho House. And I remember thinking the director and the producers, they came up to me, they were like, it was such a pleasure cutting your footage. Mm. And I remember they were like, you were so present, you were so good. And they were like, and I was like, well, if you need an officer, I'm around. And they were like, we'll be seeing a lot more of you. Cut two, they used me. I did 6 episodes that first season. I was in the second season and they upped me in the third season. And I became a regular on that show, a fixture on that show for the next 4 seasons. And so to be on a show like that for 7 seasons that's amazing, because that's not something that happens a lot in our industry these days, right? Yeah, you know, 7 seasons of a show. So I had a great experience, and I always try to get back with that one.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very, like, just like you said, to start off as uniform cop number one. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, 7 seasons later, here you are with a name recurring, you know, and just, you're a part of the show. Like, that is huge. That's exciting. Yeah. That's like the dream. Like,
it is the dream.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's one of them. It's one of the dreams, right? It's one of the dreams. Absolutely. Yeah.
What is it that you, I mean, because you're doing great things, you know, just as an actor, as a coach, like affecting other actors in their life, like what are some other of your goals, like as an actor, that you would want to accomplish that you haven't yet hit?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about like manifesting, and as I sit here and talk to you, or if anybody has ever heard me again, you know, as I do my Instagram stories on Think Bigger, that I am in a high level of trying to manifest getting a Marvel or getting on a superhero show, or that's my next. I want to do fantasy next. That's the big piece, you know. But here is, you know, something that I, as I was talking about with one of the ladies on my podcast, that I love to help actors, but what I realized was I stepped out of line for a second. You know, we talk about this virtual line, right? As coaches, and you know, I'm helping actors skip the line, but when I'm also helping actors skip the line, I have to be conscious of not getting out of line myself.
That's key.
And what we do is, you know, we let that take over. And so I'm stepping back into the manifestation, back into the real big vision of let's get specific again. Where do we want to do? How do we want this to come about? I'm really, really big. I want to do that. And I believe I do still want to direct some episodic television. I do. How do we do that? How do we create that? I shadow directed on my show for an episode. A couple of directors were there. I got to see their work. And so I love that idea of it. And I just think right now, sometimes when you're feeling out of flow, when you're feeling like you're not getting what you want, look down and ask yourself, did I get out of line?
That's a crap question.
It is. Am I out of line? Oh, cool. You know, I stepped out of line for a second. Here, let me, excuse me, were you holding my place?
Let me get right back there. Yeah, that's a good reflection. That's a good one. Am I out of line? Like, did I step out of line? And I think that's a question you can ask yourself a lot. Like, you know what
you
I mean?
Should.
To check yourself.
Yeah, well, because what happens is we look at our friends who are booking. We look at those other people and we're like, oh, it's not happening for me. Yeah. But maybe we just got out of line, right?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere down the road, I forgot, oh, right, I'm doing all this stuff. And the words I'm saying, or the how I'm showing up in the world, all that stuff can attribute to, I'm out of line.
Yeah.
So,
That's awesome. And you teach actors, like, self-taping. That's another thing that you do. Yeah, like, and that's a big thing for us right now. I mean, it's always been, but it's just, we need to make sure that our self-tapes are up to par, you know, top of the line. So you have a course for that?
I do. It's called, it's going to be really easy to remember, everybody.
Okay.
All it's called is Self-Tapes That Book.
Boom. That's what we want.
I mean, I'm like, what is the course about? I want everybody to know sometimes I'm very simple, like Think Bigger Coaching or Think Bigger Actors Podcast. I just like think like that. So I was like, what do I want? I want a self-tape that book. Oh. And you know, in that program, I offer it a couple times a year. It is everything I have learned about booking in audition rooms. Mm-hmm. We've translated it also to self-tapes. It's about like giving a, you know, a wash repeat a process. So like, great, when you get the tape from the appointment, whether that's on your from your reps, then or Actors Access, however you're getting that appointment from the time you submit it, here are the steps you take. Okay. Because what happens is we get really in our heads and we're like, oh my God, what do I do? Right. Stop. Here's your process, so that you can get back to exactly what's important. And what's really important is your craft. Gotcha. And what we think is, oh, these lights, I got to get the right lights. I got to get the right sound. Yes, that's important, but it's not the most important thing. And they can see past the rest of that. But you know what they can't see past? So my course is all about that, getting the gear stuff out of the way. And then I tell you my whole process about acting. here's what we do. Here's how you do it. And yeah, I'm actually really, really, really enjoying it. And that's the only way right now you can get my eyes on your acting, right? So by taking the course.
And you only offer it a few times a year, you said?
I do. I do because let me, Melanie, this is why we were just covering this. Because I have to constantly, and I want to remind myself to make space for my career.
Yeah, it's important.
You know, and so when I tell people, they're like, oh, money and all, I was like, this is cool, but I can make triple this when I'm on set, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm fulfilling myself. So I do the course when I can, when it pops up, because, you know, and I was shooting Bosch this year during a pandemic from August to the end of February, we're shooting in a pandemic. And everybody's like, when is the course coming up again? I'm like, listen, y'all.
I'm booked.
And that's not, I think sometimes people think that's a sales tactic, but like, you know, get on people's, you know, their mailing list so that you really see it's not a sales tactic. It's like, I want to help, but I'm also not anymore in that world where I'm going to help and it's putting me under.
Because, I mean, you have a lot on your plate. You're, like you said, you're sending the elevator back down, but you still have to make sure that you're in line and fulfilled and doing what, you know, you want to do for your career as well.
Yeah. I can't send the elevator back down, literally. Listen to it. I can't send the elevator back down if I haven't got to the next floor myself.
Yeah, that's true. You can't send it back down if we're on the same floor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so true.
And we do that as a person of color. What I do, I don't want to put you in there because I don't know anybody else in there. What I do is because we're communal people, we're always trying to take people with us before we get there. But let's arrive first. Yeah. Let's arrive. Let's check out the place. And then let's send the elevator back. No, but we're like, come on, Ray.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah.
So. No, that's true. That's true. So
I'm just kidding out there, everybody. Don't come for me in the
just
DMs.
Just kidding, Ray.
If you know a Ray, no.
I know. So where can people find you? I know. Yep. I mean, it's very self-explanatory, but let listeners know. You know, if they want to work with you, follow you, all the things. Like, where can they find you?
Yeah, you know, on Instagram is one of our big pushes right now because I love meeting and seeing other people's stuff. So that's at Think Bigger Coaching, at Think Bigger Coaching. And of course, all the thinkbiggercoaching.com stuff. You can always get in touch with me that way. I have a free Facebook group called the Think Bigger Tribe that I'm in there a lot too, where I do like Ask Me Anythings and stuff like that for absolutely free. So if you're, which I think you should do, if you never worked with a coach or you don't know them, you need to see some of my lives. What am I talking about? You need to go into my tribe and you need to, you know, ask me anything so you feel like we get it, instead of, you know, let me just pay this guy $300 or $400 to work with him. Like, go and get a feel for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go get a feel for me, or go get a feel for other people, you know, so that you know that there's too much stuff out there right now that you can't get that feel. So yeah. And, you know, and anywhere on those social medias at Think Bigger Coaching, or of course, DeJuan Johnson, I'm there.
Nice. And any final words or anything that I forgot that you want to share or talk about before we wrap?
You know, I just like to say to what you're doing is fantastic. You know, first of all, I don't believe in competition, right? Yeah. That's first. And so I'm so happy to be on somebody else's podcast, you know, even though I have a podcast, but to be talking about it and hopefully sharing with your users so that we can expand the global, you know, like mindset and not be in just group actor things. So I love what you're doing and that you don't believe in that. So I want to say, keep doing that, keep sharing and keep just noticing that. And what I would just say to all the listeners out there is that you matter. Right. And we can't wait to see and hear your stories. Right. So it's almost, if I can be bold to say this, I'm almost telling you that you're being selfish by not letting us see more.
That hits. And on that note, DeJuan Johnson out.
Out.
That's so true. My husband has told me that before. Like, you know, like, cause I've had a tendency to just kind of, I'm such a like low key type of person, you know, and don't put myself out there as much, but that's what I've been working on all year. Like, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there. I'm just going to like go for it and do the things that I want to do. And he said that he was like, you know what, like, you're such a great person. You have so many like skills and talents. Like, you're almost being selfish by not sharing that with the world. And I'm like, man,
yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. I never thought about it like that.
you're like, get out of here. You're right.
Right. And then here comes Dewan saying it again, like, boom, yeah. That's a good reminder. So, wow. All right. Well, thank you, Dewan, for gracing us with your presence. It's been great. Thank you so much for sharing your story and just like sharing all your wisdom. Like, you have a lot to share and offer, and you're doing so many amazing things for actors. So I thank you, and it's appreciated.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. Bye.